You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
And it's hi from Jessica on Breadline.
And hello from Daryl on Breadline.
And, first of all, we'd like to acknowledge that this show is coming to you from the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri Nation. And we'd also paying our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and also acknowledge that their sovereignty was never ceded. So we've had a big day out today, Daryl.
We certainly did.
So we met up with some other Australian Unemployed Workers Union members up in Coburg. And first of all, we checked out the new flyer, which is coming out from the union called Keeping a Safe Distance from Your Job Provider. So we actually gave that out in a couple of the job agencies and they were sort of interested, concerned, interested.
Which was surprising too.
Yeah. So what we found was that there's an interesting situation today because all mutual obligations have been paused today because of a problem with MyGov.
Yeah.
And so some of the job providers had their doors shut, which was surprising. Some of them were there working, and so we talked to them about our concerns and mainly about the fact that that job providers have the power to actually cut someone's payments, which we are not in any way happy about. And they said that one consultant said that she also wasn't happy with the fact that they had that responsibility and they would have preferred not to have it and they would prefer Centrelink to have it.
Yeah, it can't be an easy thing to do. No wonder they have a high staff turnover when they have to do things like that.
That's right.
So we just want to emphasise, like you were saying earlier, Jessica, it's not the actual consultants or the people that work in there. It's the system they have to run by, isn't it?
That's right. And we just found it interesting that the mutual obligations could be paused today, whereas they in the past have not been paused and they are continuing on. Of course, mutual obligations were paused under the COVID lockdown time into 2022, but today they've decided because of their own glitch that it's paused. And so it means that the pressure's off on today and also last week on people to turn up, although there still were people who had to turn up for their appointments today.
Yeah, well, that was when did the MyGov go down? 11 o'clock, wasn't it?
I'm not really sure exactly what time, but right. It was around 11.
Yeah, well, I had an appointment an hour before that, which was a shame. But knowing my job provider, they wouldn't have told me anything until I got there. You know, it's a pretty poor state of affairs, though. Like you're trying your best looking for a job, and you know all of a sudden you can't because of one computer, MyGov, shutting down for some reason. I don't understand it. Every week they shut down to do a maintenance. You know, why don't they get better computers? Look, I've had my computer for, 10 years. It's still run. I've never had to shut it down for maintenance.
You know? Yeah.
It's incredible.
Okay, right. So we've now, seamlessly, I would say, we now have Catherine on the line. Catherine, are you there?
Hello.
Yes. Yeah, hi. So we're welcoming Catherine, who's an Australian Unemployed Workers Union member from... What area do you live in?
I'm from Newcastle, darling.
Newcastle, right. I actually thought it was Wollongong, so sorry about that. You're actually on the Committee of Management of the Union at the moment, aren't you, Catherine?
I am, because somebody has to do it and... I didn't say no quickly enough. I am now indeed the vice president because somebody had to do the job.
Well, congrats. Thanks for your work because I've also been in the past vice president.
Thank
we need it all to keep the union going.
Yeah, we appreciate the work you're doing, Catherine.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
We've been out and about today with union members giving out flyers at a couple of the job agencies. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I mentioned your campaign and also I mentioned that we've got quite a few plans of things we're doing around the Melbourne area. So tell us about your particular project?
The thing that brought me into the union in the first place is that after the election, I had a little bit of energy and I decided I was going to devote it to one tiny, you know, like, goal, something that I could actually maybe make an impact on. And I decided that I was going to dedicate myself to raising the rate of income support, because I had just not pretty recently before then finally gotten onto the disability pension. And the entire body sigh of relief I felt when I was no longer reliant on JobSeeker was something where I was like, yeah, that's something worth fighting for. You know, try and make sure that everybody else can get to the point where they've got enough money to be okay on. And so I started with a one-person letter-writing campaign, and I eventually got folded into the union, where we've created a website called Nobody Deserves Poverty. org.au, which has got a bunch of resources and flyers and cool things like that. And it's just a nice way to have something separate from the main body of the union, because the union deals with a whole bunch of things like mutual obligations and job service providers and the rest of it. And it's just a space to talk about that one specific issue of raising the rates of all the income support to at least the poverty line.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's really good, because it's so easy to get sort of sidetracked. Also, when you are living on a whole range of benefits, as we are, to get but that basic thing, we're not here to sort of be endlessly grateful for the amount of money. We deserve the amount of money we've been paying taxes all our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like, I have been putting up a small challenge recently. I'm probably going to do it on the union's TikTok when I can be bothered, of, like, tell me an issue in society and I can tell you why raising the rates of income support will make that issue less serious. It's just, like, pick anything and I could probably make a decent case why raising the rates would help.
Yeah.
Literally anything. Because it is such a widespread issue. It touches so many things. Housing, health, crime, you know, like all of it.
Yeah.
Suicidality, all of this stuff is, you know, like, huge. There's this measurable relationship with poverty, and specifically poverty as defined by things like being on income support and being on 52% of the poverty line, for instance, depending on which payment you're on.
Yes. I was involved during COVID times with the whole raise the rate type issue. And we did actually get our local council, to my shock, actually voted unanimously to call for the rates to be raised to the poverty line, which, again, I wasn't expecting at all. I was expecting it to come up and not succeed. But it doesn't take away from the fact that how are they managing to continue on this really low rate? I think it's the lowest in the OECD. Yes.
Sure is. Yay, we're number one.
And how do they manage to do it? They're a Labor government.
Like, one of the reasons I chose this as an issue was I had seen all the beautiful rhetoric that the government had made when they were in opposition. And I said, well, it can't be too hard to convince them to do something they've very loudly said needs to happen and needs to happen soon. Right? Right? Just the number one thing you need to learn about politics is that even stuff that sounds extremely logical and obvious like that,
See,
it's going to be a fight.
And there was a nice young person we met when we were meeting up earlier who is doing a lot of creative stuff towards being a professional musician, and they are having to constantly just turn up to meaningless appointments, which takes away from their creativity. And it made me think about when I was sort of squatting in the 80s in London, and how they said the fact that we didn't have to pay rent meant all this creativity was actually flowering and unleashed, because people didn't have to worry about those basic survival things. Will I go a bit further because, that shop's a bit cheaper? Or will I just walk? Or what will I do today that doesn't involve spending money?
Yeah, for sure. Like, looks like it's going to be completely freezing today. I can't afford to get warm, so I guess I have to stay in bed today.
Yeah, or people, go to the library. I used to feel guilty about, I've got an electric blanket. I used to feel guilty about putting it on because of the electricity. Then I found out that actually those sort of things that you plug in, like a heated blanket or whatever, are much actually more energy efficient than using an electric heater. So it makes me feel not so bad about that.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
You know, like one of those things where I was saying, like, everything relates to the one thing. People who are in crap housing, it tends to have crap insulation. You know, like, I'm finally in a house that has decent insulation. I've needed to plug my little, I have a little pluggy innie blanket too. And I've only had to plug it in like four times this winter because I have a decent insulation. So I'm usually really comfortable even when it's cold outside.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I use a hot water bottle. That's
the classic.
But I only just discovered. Sorry, this is a bit embarrassing, but I discovered that I had a wheat bag, which I used to use, but unfortunately, the mice have been eating my wheat bag. Sorry, that's an embarrassing thing to say. I've caught the mouse mice.
But they're warm as well, aren't they?
The mice. I don't know. If I got them working on a treadmill, maybe. But all those little decisions that you make Well, again, I'm on the age pension now, so I know that I've got a good deal compared to Job Seeker. But, yeah.
And study allowance, my God, study allowance is even lower than Job Seeker. Can you imagine trying to study and while you're on even less money, like $250 a week-ish?
Are you talking about Aus-Study?
Yeah, what used to be called Aus-Study is now study allowance. And it's about just a shade over $250 a week.
Wow. Yeah, well, you're forced to live in a shoebox or something. I mean, a lot of people move back in with their parents, whether they get on with them or not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's forcing a whole lot of decisions, which I know some of my friends who have moved back in with their parents and it has worked out quite well, but it doesn't always work out. And why should you have to do to necessarily live with people you don't get on with because you can't afford the rent?
Yeah. Like one of the other issues I can easily plug in is about, you know, the Committee for Women said that the single most important thing you could do for improving, you know, people leaving domestic violence situations would be to raise the rate. Because the poverty is being used as a leash to keep people in situations that are dangerous.
That's right, yeah. And also annoys me all these sort of advice lines and so on, when really if they help people with housing and with those basic payments, people, would be able to make better choices. But it's fine to give you advice. What's the advice going to be? Get out.
Maybe just chop off two of your legs and then you'll be fine, you know. Sell your organs on the black market and you'll be fine.
Look, that might only be a temporary disability. You know, that's what happened to someone in the UK. They really did have one of their legs amputated,
some of those stories too, where it's just like, you have a terminal brain tumor. Yeah, I'm sorry, you don't qualify for the disability pension.
Yeah,
not till after you've died.
In some cases, yeah.
What kind of things are you doing then? So you've got some bump available on your website, for example, that if people wanted to go to it, they could download it, or what's the setup?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of lovely little fact sheets, and we've always got more coming out. So if anyone wants a fact sheet on, you know, or a poster or something about a topic that is relevant, then please let us know and we'll get in on that. So there's a bunch of resources. There's a mailing list that I pretty much never remember to email. And there's mostly just one of them is ways for people to get involved in politics if they've never gotten involved in politics. So if this is an issue that you care about and you're like, cool, but now what? Mm. What do I do with that? There's always ways for you to channel whatever resources you have, whatever your strengths are. You can use them to advocate for any issue that you care about.
Yeah, well, exactly. I just talked to my friend who's on the local council at the moment, and I said, oh, any chance of us bringing this all up again, you know, about the bad rate of Job Seeker, et cetera? And he said, not really, because the councillors are all disagreeing with each other, left, right and centre. But he said, I said, well, what about the Labor Party branch? And he said, oh, yeah, that could be the go, you know. So there often is a way in there.
There is. There's always a way in. And I think the best things that you can do, whatever issues you're trying to make better on whatever issues you're currently dealing with, my number one go-to for both of them is community, is to find other people who are going through the same problem as you or other people who care about the same issue as you and just follow them, join with them, create your own community if one doesn't exist yet. But just doing it alone is miserable. And you know, like a lot of these problems feel huge and kind of intractable when it is just you.
That's,
you know, like when it's just you trying to apply for the disability pension, for instance, it's just super hard.
Yeah,
that's one of the things I do for the union is I help people apply. And honestly, 80% of my job is telling people, you deserve this. It's all right. We're going to get through this together. It's going to, you know, like it's going to be okay. Because honestly, trying to do it by yourself is very daunting and impersonal and hard. Pretty much everything like that that is a problem that, you know, people are dealing with right now, it's easier to deal with it when you're not trying to do it by yourself.
Yeah, we've been talking about the DSP the last two shows, actually, and we've interviewed a few other union members who've talked about their experiences. And, yeah, absolutely, the thing of getting someone else.
Yeah, it seems to be ongoing all the time, doesn't it? But, yeah, like getting us all together, it's kind of safety in numbers.
Really. Isn't it?
There's safety in numbers, there's power in numbers, and there's also just the strong feeling that you aren't alone and isolated. And I think most of the systems that are trying to that feel like they're trying to drag us down.
Yeah,
you need an antidote to go. No, not just me. Not alone. Not, you know, like other people are with me. Other people are experiencing the same thing. I'm not the only one.
Yeah, that's too right. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Catherine.
You're very welcome.
So now, could you just repeat the name of the website, the Nobody Deserves Poverty?
Yeah, it's nobodydeservespoverty.org.au. There's also a Twitter and a Facebook and I think that's about it at the moment. And please reach out through any of those channels if you have anything that we can do to help you, your people, whoever you are who are listening, anyone who needs some help spreading the word or getting more questions answered, love to help. And if you've got any DSP questions, reach out to us through AWU as well.
Great. Thanks so much. Yeah, that's really helpful.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Catherine. We really appreciate what you're doing there too. That's great.
Great. Thanks. We'll hopefully hear from you again.
Okay, I'd love that.
Okay.
Bye.
But don't forget, it was the suffragettes that caused global warming. Oh, we're back on air again. Oh,
hey,
hello.
What was that?
Oh, nothing.
Time for your spot.
Yes. Daryl's call-in, will we call it?
Yes.
We're still working out on a name here. Anyway, now this is from a guy by the name of Bob that called in. On the Friday, Bob got himself a job interview lined up for Monday. Trouble is, it was at the same time as his job provider's appointment. No problem. He just emailed his provider telling them he can't make the appointment and why. So he had to reschedule. Then he gets a message saying his payments have been suspended because he didn't attend his job provider appointment. So, of course, he's straight onto the phone to his provider to find out what's going on. Talking to his provider, they said again, it's because you didn't turn up for your appointment. And it was during the call then that they asked him why he didn't attend his appointment, even though he told them why earlier in his email. Now, this was a question they should have asked him on the Friday, because if you don't turn up for your appointment, the first thing they should do is call you up to find out what the problem is. But they didn't do that, of course. Anyway, they called him back to say that his payment suspension has been lifted. Well and good. 3 minutes later, after that, he gets a message saying his payments have been suspended again.
So double suspended.
Yeah. So anyway, by this time, he's used all his phone credit trying to sort this whole mess out. So now he can't do any follow-up calls to any prospective employers because, you know, when you send your resume off to someone, it's good to follow up with a phone call. He still had internet access, so he sent an email to his consultant demanding that he get in writing that his payment suspension had been lifted. Sure enough, they sent him that the very same day. Now, this all took him 5 days to sort out, something that should never have happened had the job provider done their job.
And, of course, if you had rent due in that time, you'd really be freaking out.
Well, you would, of course, yeah. So in the end, they didn't even ask him anything about his job interview. Did you get the job? How do you think you went at the interview? Will they call you back? When? Absolutely nothing. The only thing they were interested in was cutting off his payments. And all this causing a significant amount of stress, he was telling me, making it hard for him to do his job search while being concerned about paying his bills. So to sum it up, Bob had his payments suspended, ran out of phone credit defending himself, and was left reeling from all the stress that he was put through. Where's the justice?
Yeah, good point, Daryl.
Exactly.
Oh, well, as one of the listeners said last week, you're doing really good work on the advocacy line, and it's really good that we've got it. And, of course, we haven't plugged it this week, have we?
Oh, no. We're for the... this show is brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. Don't forget that.
We have our advice line runs from on Monday to Friday, 10 till 2, and just look up the number by going auw.org.au. So it's goodbye from us, and listen to us next week.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.